Good evening. Let's call to order the Housing and Human Services Commission's special meeting of November 24th, 2025 at 7 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. The Housing and Human Services Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the Commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the Commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the Commission's authority, generally referred to as within the Commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If the speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Housing and Human Services Commission agenda. Use the Show Captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for agenda items, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Housing and Human Service Commission meeting agenda. Now, please join me in the salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let's do the roll call.
Yeah.
And I've been informed that Commissioner Weiss and Commissioner Davis are absent with excused absence.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Shen? Present. Thank you. Commissioner Duncan?
Present.
Chair Friedlander?
Present.
Vice Chair Rivera?
Present.
Commissioner Stewart?
Present.
We have five commissioners present, with Commissioner Weiss and Davis absent, and as Chair Friedlander stated, is excused. Thank you.
Oral communications. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing's general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. This Housing and Human Service Commission Services Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the Commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the Commission's authority, which is known as the Commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the Commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the Commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreements with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial 9 on a phone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Do we have any public speakers?
None in person and none online.
Okay. I will go ahead and close oral communications then. On to the consent calendar. I will go ahead and open public comments on consent calendar items. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Oh. I will close public comment.
Oh, sorry. Opened public comment, yes. And then we do not have anybody in person or online, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, is this the time I close public comment?
Yes. Yes.
I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues. Okay, Chair Duncan, is there a second? And Chair Riviere, is there a discussion or advocacy on the motion? Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes, Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes.
Chair Friedlander?
Yes.
The motion carries with five commissioners voting yes and Commissioner Weiss and Davis absent. Did I miss something?
Okay, let's move on to our second item. Moving on to our next item is 25-1081. Is there a staff report?
There is not a staff report. However, I am going to introduce the item for you tonight. And this is the annual draft work plan for your review and approval. This is something that we do every year. As you'll see on the work plan, we have a number of regular reoccurring agenda items that we've listed and have noted a handful of agenda items below the calendar that we'll be calendaring at a later date. So this is for your review, and if you agree, to approve. Thank you.
Commissioner Duncan?
Just a quick question, thank you. When it says TBD, such as the February meeting, does that just mean we don't have a topic as of yet for that meeting and could be canceled?
Yes, that is what we intended to do, and we'll certainly let the commission know far in advance if we end up being able to cancel that meeting because there are no agenda items.
Thank you.
Does any other commissioners have any questions on this agenda item? Okay, I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial 9 on a phone to indicate you wish to speak. Staff, do we have any speakers online or in person?
We do not, Chair.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak on this item before we close? Okay, I will close the public hearing, and I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues. Okay, is there a discussion or advocacy on the motion? Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote. Commissioner Stewart and Commissioner Riviere seconded the vote. I mean, the motion.
Sorry, Chair. So you're going to go. So you close the public hearing for public comment, and now the commission needs to speak on the item. So if you see any hands raised, it looks like Vice Chair Rivera, Commissioner Stewart first would like to speak.
Commissioner Stewart.
I was merely ready to make the motion. Okay. If Commissioner Rivera has commentary or questions, she should go first.
Thank you. I was preparing to second the motion.
Perfect. So I think at this time, Commissioner Stewart would have the floor.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the calendar.
Is there a second of the motion?
And I will also move to second the motion.
Okay, recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes, Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes.
Chair Friedlander?
Yes.
The motion carries with all commissioners present voting yes and Commissioner Weiss and Davis absent.
Okay. Let's move on to our next item, 25-1067. Is there a staff report?
There is a staff presentation. I'm going to review the Council of Priority Projects process with you. This is a new process that was just approved by City Council. And with this, it provides a structured method for identifying, prioritizing, and implementing new priority projects, which includes policy exploration, feasibility studies, one-time projects, budget or service level changes, or other initiatives in an efficient and effective manner. Each fall, board and commission staff liaisons will now ask whether the boards and commissions would like to agendize a discussion to suggest potential ideas. Participation is optional, but if a board or commission chooses to participate, the discussion must be scheduled for no later than the November meeting. For 2025 only, the deadline has been extended to December. All boards and commissions are encouraged to participate in the first year. With this new process, each council member may propose up to 3 council priority projects each year between November and January. Each board or commission may, upon a majority vote, forward 1 idea per year for council members to consider incorporating into their proposals. Boards or commission ideas shall be forwarded in list form only, without staff-prepared reports or rankings. A reference list of ideas will be maintained on the city's website. Council members may, at their discretion, incorporate ideas from boards and commissions into their 3 proposals. Members of the public may also provide suggestions for council priority projects during oral communications at council meetings via emails to council at the annual priority projects workshop and/or at the annual budget hearing. Council will hold an annual council priority projects workshop, usually in February, to review council strategic goals every other year, review current council priority projects and other significant work plan projects, review a fiscal and staffing capacity update from the city manager, and consider new priority project proposals from council, taking input from boards and commissions and the public. Council shall determine which priority project proposals have majority council support to advance to staff analysis. Staff will prepare an analysis from March through April. And at the May budget workshop, the city manager will recommend council priority projects within the funding and staffing capacity. In June, during the budget adoption, council will approve the final council priority projects for the year. Staff will focus on implementing the current year council priority projects. The format for this discussion: verbal discussion only. No papers, staff reports, or written analysis are prepared in advance. The staff role will be to clarify overlap with existing or planned city projects and to provide more information as needed. After the discussion, the commission may, by a majority vote, forward 1 idea for council consideration within the scope and purview of the boards and commissions. Boards and commission staff liaison transmits the selected idea to the city manager's office. And again, if a board and commission forwards an idea, it is not guaranteed to move forward to the February workshop. The ideas are added to the running list of potential ideas, and council members may incorporate the ideas from boards and commissions into their 3 proposals. So if the commission decides to bring something to council through discussion tonight, you'll need to make a motion to approve. And if the commission does not decide to bring anything to council, no motion is needed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now ask questions from my colleagues. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions? Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes, thank you for the overview. a question on if this process replaces the current or previous study issue process.
Yes, this is the new way that we'll be conducting study issues.
Thank you.
Commissioner Duncan?
Yeah, this commission, I think former Commissioner Hiermath probably would echo this, has a poor track record on study issues. So I hope this new process can potentially work better. Vice Mayor Sell probably knows the track record also. A discussion item for, among my colleagues, help me remember this, but we had a discussion about the potential for a registry of rental facilities across the city. And we know that there's several other cities that use that. And the idea of a registry of rentals was in the context of tenant protections and some of the tenant protection ordinances that have been discussed and passed on to the council from this commission, basically as a way to ensure that all landlords are aware of the city ordinances on tenant protections, as well as a resource for renters to understand where are the potentially all these sites that have rentals available. I'm also kind of asking among my colleagues here if you can remember that discussion and if I've sort of captured it correctly. I don't remember why it was never discussed or brought up before as a proposal to put a rental registry in place in Sunnyvale. We do know that it does exist in several other cities. So that's top of my head what I thought of. I don't know if any other commissioners have some other thoughts.
I would also be in favor of a rental registry, also one that may show if there are current openings or if there's a wait list, and so that they may have, an individual who's potentially renting may have an idea of viability in the area of what available options are there.
Commissioner Stewart?
I would also support that, and it'd be nice if it had something that showed whether or not the apartment was obligated to offer Section 8. I had a different idea, but in order to ask about it, I need some information. Amanda, regarding the study issue for RV parking and bathrooms with sinks and toilets at encampments, I was sort of waiting till the December meeting to hear updates on that. And I have looked at the city's dashboard, but it didn't have as much information as I wanted. Can you give an update on that, please? It's relevant because if, depending on where that goes, I may or may not want it to go through again, or maybe it can't go through again.
So as you know, last November, the city passed the safe parking ordinance. So safe parking is technically allowed within the city of Sunnyvale. And we are with a permit. And it was for 2 to 10 vehicles as a small site and 11 or more vehicles for a large site. We have yet to have anyone apply for a safe parking program. Safe parking programs can be challenging to run because of their cost, smaller sites especially, because when you're able to scale up, you can at least spread that cost over more staff, more vehicles, etc. The city was also directed by city council during that November meeting last year to look at the feasibility of any publicly owned sites within the city for safe parking. Staff has conducted that research pretty thoroughly and have yet to come up with a publicly owned site that would be feasible for a safe parking location. There are certain parameters that we've identified that are needed in order for it to be feasible, such as it being 1.5 acres in nature, especially if we would like to allow for RVs to be parked on that site because they need to have enough room for egress and ingress and enough parking and space in between each vehicle. And so there aren't a lot of large publicly owned lots that are available for that type of a site. And so again, state, we haven't been able to find something that's feasible. We are also working right now on more thoroughly developing our relationships with community and faith-based organizations to see if further engagement might drum up some interest in a private lot being available and some sort of partnership. And so that's where we're starting to focus our efforts on even more than we have in the past. We have seen in Mountain View and Palo Alto, Cupertino, Campbell, faith-based lots, although they're generally smaller, they have been able to come up with a few of them, a few partnerships. And so that's generally where we're at with safe parking. It's something we're still really working on, but it isn't moving as fast as we'd like.
Okay, thank you. And was there any result of looking into bathrooms with sinks, et cetera, at encampments?
I think one of the major things is that the city doesn't currently have any like major encampments of any size generally in nature. When we do see like encampments, there may be 1 to 2 people there. Oftentimes if there is a significant health and safety issue, those need to generally be abated within a certain time frame. We often see them on Caltrans property, and they've been abating more frequently than they had in the past, especially because they're oftentimes on the freeway entrances. This is where they're seeing them a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, can you clarify the process on, you know, proposing a motion for this new process? It seems like maybe we could have a discussion amongst ourselves. There's some ideas floating around. How would we go about proposing something? Or
I'm new to this too, but the way that I understand it is that you'll have a discussion on any of the ideas that are proposed amongst each other. And then if something sounds like the group may want to move forward with it, then someone would be able to make the motion to move it forward to pass along to the commission as the Housing and Human Services Commission's one idea for council priority for the 25-26 fiscal year.
But I imagine there should be a discussion first before calling a motion.
Yes. So you'll just have a discussion. It's more informal, but you'll have a discussion amongst yourselves. So for instance, Commissioner Duncan had brought up, the idea of the rental database. And so if there were no other ideas or someone wanted, you all wanted to explore that further, you could certainly have that discussion. What would that entail? Is it what the group wants to move forward with? And then someone would be able to make that motion.
And then that motion would go directly to council and they'd be able to look at that. And what's the timeline on that look like?
Sure. My computer locked me out. I wrote some really thorough notes that I'm going to rely on. But my understanding is that we would pass this along to the clerk's office and let them know if you had decided on something you would like to bring, a proposal you'd like to bring forward, or an idea rather, that you'd like to bring forward for council consideration that's within the scope and purview of a board and commission, mm-hmm. of your board, your commission. So we transmit that to the city manager's office, and if the council will then have the ability, any of the council members, to incorporate that into any one of their three council priorities that they're able to bring forward. And then that would then occur during the February workshop meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
Just a little more information.
Yes.
So just a little background. So I think Commissioner Duncan mentioned, like, this commission and many commissions have not had luck getting some of their ideas through. So as part of the study issues, we had a consultant look at this, and that's what they noted too. And so thought that it would be more successful and a better use of staff time if, like, you right now discuss some ideas and then prioritize, like, one idea if you want to. And then prioritizing that one idea, it didn't take any staff time to prioritize that one idea. Whereas in the old process, you would have along the way had, like, study issue proposal. And each one of those study issue proposals from this commission would have had to have staff do a write-up, and that would have taken many, many hours. So this is low overhead for staff, but it still sort of achieves that goal of all your best ideas is consolidated into one, if you want, one idea that you make a motion on, and then that idea through staff gets to the city manager's office. But another thing you could do is you could elevate this idea by the chair, the vice chair, or whoever on this commission could be designated to talk directly to the council members and sort of, like, discuss your ideas with the city council members. Whereas before, in the old process, your study issues would have been ranked, and then they would have been given to the council, and then there's not too much interaction with the council. But in this case, if you just had one idea, and if you wanted to voluntarily, you could talk to the council members about this, and then possibly one council member, this would click with them, and they would want to adopt it into one of their three council priority projects that they want to propose. Even with those three projects from one council members, each council member will have three projects or less, but maximum. And then that will also get pared down. So those 21 will get pared down to a smaller list. And so that's kind of a big overview, I think.
Thank you. And to clarify that, each commission has an opportunity to propose that
one.
An agenda, only just one.
Yep.
Per year.
Yep.
Okay. Vice Chair Revere.
Hi, yes, appreciating the additional details. And a question on if the ideas can be during any agenda item or during a particular time during the meeting.
Should I answer? Okay, so your commission, I guess, decided to have this hearing in which you take this hearing item, and this is a time when you bring all your ideas from the whole year and you discuss it amongst yourself. Like, maybe during the year, you would have thought, oh, this would be a great idea. Well, then you could write it down over the year, and then you bring all those ideas to this meeting at this hearing, and then present it to your colleagues, and then brainstorm and discuss amongst yourself which one you want to make your one.
I see. Thank you. So special meeting during that year, we all bring our ideas, and then from that meeting, the one idea emerges to then bring. And thank you. And then the other last question would be, once that idea is solidified or chosen, then is it another meeting that the advocate from the commission would go to speak to the council members about?
No, I think it would just go to the city manager's office through your staff liaison.
Yes. So every fall, I'll be reminding you and letting you know, hey, you know, it's time for us to consider whether you want to have the council priority projects discussion. Every year after this, it'll be up to you as a commission to decide whether you even want to agendize this item. You don't have to. So if the group decided in the September meeting, no, that's not something we want to do this year, nothing's really come to the top for us, you wouldn't even have to agendize it. But if you did, we would need to agendize it by the November meeting every year. So it would be, generally, we could think of it as being the November meeting of every year that we would ensure that we have this discussion as one of our topics. Again, where you could bring all of those ideas. And it was put on the agenda this particular time because of the fact that we just switched over to this way of doing things. And we didn't, if we didn't get it on the November meeting or December meeting as a special meeting, you wouldn't have been able to do it at all. So we made sure to get it on this particular agenda as a discussion item so that you would have it to talk about and wouldn't miss out.
More information. So I believe that if you motion for an idea, then it would go to your staff liaison, and staff liaison would get it to the city manager's office, and then city manager would put on a list, and the list would contain maybe other ideas from other commissioners. It might contain ideas that council put on there for the year. So it's this long list, growing list. But between now and February, when the council will bring their three, you voluntarily could decide if you wanted the chair or the vice chair or someone on the commission to start talking to council members about your idea to add more color and detail to why, because your idea will just be like one sentence on a list. And then from that sentence, you know, it's not really, council doesn't know really too much about it. So if one of you, the chair, vice chair, whoever you wanted to select, wanted to take it upon themselves to talk to council members about it, then you'd make appointment with the council members, whoever wants to meet with you, and then you meet with them individually. Not more, you can talk to, like I cannot talk to my colleagues in, because of the Brown Act, in majority outside of a council meeting. But you can talk to multiple council members as long as you don't say what the other council members said to you, because you're not on the council. So you could talk to any number of council members as long as you don't communicate what the council member told you. So that's how you would get that one line sentence, more color to it and more reason of why you picked it. And then that would give the council members more clarity.
Commissioner Stewart.
I regret I didn't fully understand what would happen at this meeting because I would have had a longer list. And I would have checked in with you before I suggested things. Two things that have been on my mind is, number one, one of the things I hear again and again is I can't go to work. I can't go do an interview without getting all my stuff stolen. Now, in some cases, there are other reasons that they couldn't go to work or go to an interview. But in some cases, it does seem like that truly is the problem. And I have wondered if having, you know, maybe just three places around Sunnyvale where the local homeless there could store their things to go to work and not come home and find out what got stolen today. So that would be one thing I would suggest for consideration among my council members as a priority. And the second thing that's been on my mind is if we could have multiple, I know that a lot of this gets stuck between the council and the county in terms of the warming center. But just again, pressing, you know, multiple warming centers throughout the city and open all night when it's the coldest, you know, throughout the night, and then cooling centers, multiple cooling centers in the summer would be another thing that is actually in my mind a greater priority than the storage. Having said that, I would value your feedback on if this is something that's already been studied, if there's what, if it would be a valuable use of our one slot to suggest these things.
Sure. Thank you for bringing both of those things up. In terms of storage, it isn't something that the city has yet. Very few cities, at least in Santa Clara County, do have that. So it could be something worth exploring. But in terms of the warming centers, we did close out a study issue last year in regard to warming centers and introduced the inclement weather pilot program last January. It ran from January to March. And it is also something, I don't want to say too much, but it's something we're incorporating into the strategy to address homelessness next Tuesday.
So the answer is,
as far as warming centers go, again, we that was a study issue. It was actually called the warming centers. And so I would say that it would be a duplicative effort to do it again. And I can also say that the library / the city does have warming and cooling centers within the libraries, senior centers, community centers during the daytime. Yeah. And then we are including something about the inclement weather program that we ran last year as a pilot into our homeless strategy and integrating that.
Is there any possibility of those warming centers going throughout the night?
That was part of the study, and it's not a cost efficient. The model itself isn't cost efficient at all. And that is why many communities in the county have moved from started with just having warming centers overnight. And then it goes to you run a cold weather shelter from like November to April. And then eventually the ideal is that you can run a 365 day a year shelter because it's the most cost effective model. And so staff did look at the cost of having the overnight warming centers and the cost that it would be to have them, a number of them or even one in maybe the model that you're thinking of is not cost effective. It just wasn't feasible for the city and for staffing. But the model that we introduced, which was having hotel rooms and having our current provider, we hope, manage those rooms, that worked out well. It turned out there were 28 duplicated and unduplicated clients who used those through the three major storms that occurred during last winter. And so, yeah, we saw full utilization of the rooms. There wasn't one room empty.
Okay, thank you. And then in regards to the storage, is that something that would be an appropriate thing to possibly forward along?
Yeah, I think that's certainly worth discussion with your colleagues, and to see if it's storage, and then you know there was the other idea brought up, of course, of the rental database, and so I think either one of those are great ideas. So I would encourage staff discussion or commission discussion on either of those items, just to see what the commission decides. But again, there isn't storage here in the city for anyone experiencing homelessness that would need a place to put their items so that they could go to work, school, or other place during the day and not have to worry about them.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Duncan.
Kind of follow on and ask you similar questions as I brought up the idea of the database or the rental registry, which, if my memory serves me correct, has been brought up in the context of discussions here and within the council of how do we ensure that all the renters in the city are aware of their rights for no-fault eviction, their rights to be offered a 12-month lease, and how do we ensure that all the landlords are aware of their rights and responsibilities. So I believe that was the context. Correct me if I'm wrong, if my memory's wrong there. But my question would be, you know, it would matter a great deal whether this sort of idea would be supportive of the mission of the housing office that you run. Basically, is this something that your organization you know, if it was properly vetted and supported, would it help your organization?
I feel like that one is a little more difficult for me to speak on right in the moment, because I wasn't part of previous conversations and don't have enough context of maybe why it didn't move forward in other arenas. I have some thoughts, but again, this is the sort of first I'm hearing about it, and I have much more expertise, at least in Sunnyvale right now, in homelessness, because that's what I was working on until I shifted to become the housing officer. And so I couldn't say with great certainty that it wouldn't be beneficial. And I would be interested in exploring more, maybe just previously, what had been shared, and why it could or could not work here. And so when it comes to this particular issue, I think, you know, I have seen it work in other communities. And my greatest concern would really be the staff time. Again, like, who will manage it? Like, what teeth will we have? It's something that probably needs to be done every year to make sure the landlords update and give us the proper information, and how frequently are they supposed to be updating the registry, all of those pieces, and then who would maintain that? It is I think the biggest concern that I would have.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Revere.
Hi, yes, appreciating all the ideas and information so far. And from what I heard earlier, it sounds like there would be a December kind of ideas that we would bring in December instead of November for this particular year, because it's a new process, it sounds like, from what I heard earlier. And a couple that came to mind were, I remember at one point during our meeting, I believe November last year, there was talk about for particular professions, prioritizing, so individuals who work in the city, maybe in the education profession or teachers, may have a type of some type of subsidy related to renting or in close proximity to the schools or areas where they work, as one idea. Another idea is related to the backpack and school supplies program that I believe we may already have on a particular scale, but and the free lunch programs during the summer, and have a question about if those are still happening on a particular scale with certain programs, or if there's anything in particular we could look into in terms of how many they're serving, or if there's a need for expansion.
Just to clarify, I just want to make sure. So we're having the meeting tonight to have the discussion. And so this particular meeting is to have the discussion on the council priorities, because we don't have a meeting in December except for our special meeting. Okay. And then in terms of some of the things that were discussed last year, sort of wanting to revisit those and understand where we're at with them. Is that, and would you like me to provide just a little more background, maybe on like the backpacks, it sounds like, and if there's a need for those, and the teacher housing, just providing a little more of like feedback and insight into that?
Yes, if there was a particular status in moving forward with the programs or still being an exploratory phase.
The backpacks in general, I don't think that's something that we moved forward with. I do know that's something that Sunnyvale Community Services, Bill Wilson Center, and a number of other agencies do usually during the summer months in order to ensure that young children or children of any age or people of any age are able to have a backpack and school supplies as they start school. So I don't think that was ever a formal program or recommendation that moved forward. Please, anyone correct me if I'm wrong. And then in terms of the teacher housing, I think that didn't actually make it onto the study issue list. That was something that, if I remember correctly, Jenny Carloni, a former housing officer, had maintained that it's generally the developers who are oftentimes really making the determination based on market trends and funding as to how different populations can be served in a particular type of housing. And they're the ones that are going after the subsidies and building those relationships. And so it wouldn't necessarily be a city-driven priority is, I think, what we landed on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And then my last question was on the summer, the Free Reduced Lunch Program that was extended into the summer. Is it something that also the city is involved in or could look to as a potential idea if there's a need for expansion and the current status of
the free student lunches at the different school districts?
Yes, and that it was extended into the summer and if there's a need, continued need for it.
That's something that generally the school districts handle. It's not something like it's within the purview of the school districts, but you're suggesting it as a potential study issue to rise to council that staff would ultimately go and study whether there is a need for the city to partner and identify funding for ongoing school lunches or like the ongoing program.
Yes. So for example, if the summer program is still going or if there's a Sunnyvale Community Services partnership, that could be a possibility. If there's a gap in need potentially with the current scale of the program.
It's certainly something that could be discussed among the commissioners, whether you'd like to rise that to the top. It's not something that we as the city has done. It may be something that Sunnyvale Community Services is partnered directly with schools on. That's something they are really good at doing is creating partnerships wherever they go. And so it may be something that they directly have that the city doesn't necessarily, bless you, hasn't gotten involved in the past. So it would be difficult for me to speak on, but it's not something we currently do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
So before we used to have study issues and then we had budget items. So now we've combined them. So some things like, do we want to put money into more school lunches or stuff like that? So that one, could be like considered a money thing. These ideas could be things that you think are meaty and need to be studied, or they could be a thing that you want mainly money city if they had extra money to go in that direction. That's my opinion. Like, since those things are now combined. So although like some things you think, oh, that's not a big thing to study, but it would be amount of money that you, if the city had the money to go that direction. So just another thought. These are money or meaty study things.
Just to follow up on that, is there a budget that, and I'm sure there's a budget, but is there, since there's three agenda items, I mean, how big can this go? I mean, for example, can there be a study to buy a shelter? Open a new shelter?
Yeah, so generally, like, the city has different buckets of money. And then the main bucket of money that I know of is the council, the set aside. Like, I think last year or the year before, in the budget, we came up with $3.5 million is the structural surplus that the city will have, at least $3.5 million over the next, like, 20 years. And so along the way, since that was made, we've been eating away at that $3.5 million because the council has allocated like projects that have ongoing funding needs. So I think now it's on the order of, don't quote me on this, but on the order of $2 million. So that's kind of like the money that we have to play with. In terms of, it's not strongly allocated to something. Mm-hmm. And so that's supposed to last 20 years. Or else if it's a one-time thing, it's a one-time one-year thing, then it's easier because then the next year the money will be back again if it's a one-time commitment. So like a shelter seems like a lot more than that. So in the ballpark of that. And then study issues tend to be like they might be larger issues, but that's what the city does. They study something before they do a larger investment in it. So study issue would be like a paper study for a year or 2 year duration to see if it's feasible, not feasible. So like with the warming centers, you know, they did that study and the outcome of it was the interim hotel, the climate weather hotel idea. So if the city just jumped into like warming centers, it would have, you know, put a lot of energy in it. And then, but instead it did a paper study and I figured out where is the best investment for that. And then they kind of figured out, well, why don't we do a pilot? And then WeHope is doing a similar thing. And then, so that's where they invested their pilot money after doing investigation. So I think someone told me that Sunnyvale's good at doing things, but doing things thoroughly, like they study it before they jump in. Whereas some other cities might just jump in and then it's more work. It's different work in different ways. So anyway, that's the way Sunnyvale does it.
Thank you for that explanation. Commissioner Stewart, I saw you had a follow-up.
Well, that is my biggest, most exciting dream, that there would be a Sunnyvale shelter owned by Sunnyvale, since we just don't have any control over that Hamlin Court shelter and that has caused endless heartache. Can you comment, please? I would be extremely excited about proposing a study issue regarding a Sunnyvale shelter. Or not a study issue, but whatever this new thing is called.
Sure. I do want to point to what Vice Mayor Sell just said, though, is that with the finite amount of money that the city has and the potential need for capital and ongoing operating costs of a shelter, it isn't just the one-time cost generally. It's the ongoing operating that that shelters are always struggling to find. And so that would need a lot in order to ensure that it was done well too. To have a shelter that's run well, typically you're looking at, depending on the size of it, over $500,000 to over $1 million in operating costs, because the staffing that's needed and wanting to pay them well, and wanting to ensure that you have a robust staffing pattern as well, that it's not skeleton crew and everyone's sort of doing what they want. And that you have, good operating costs, and that you're, you don't have washers that are breaking down and things of that nature, that truly, people experiencing homelessness are getting something that, you would want to be at if you had to be in that type of a situation, is how I think of it. So in order to do that and to do it well, it costs a lot of money. And so while I would always champion that cause, knowing the potential of the financial burden, I think that's why we're always thinking of how can we creatively do things when it comes to homelessness. So hence, again, the inclement weather pilot program brought on, 20 rooms, and we doubled people up, which is why it was able to serve more. And we were able to do that in a lot more of a cost-effective manner. I think it costs us about $70,000 for the program. And so, continuing to explore ways to creatively house people in the shorter long term is certainly something I would advocate for.
I just wanted to follow up on that. You said creative ways. What about, for example, subsidizing private shelters to incentivize them to expand?
The city of Sunnyvale, for instance, is funding a non-congregate shelter program. And right now we only have 5 rooms. So that would
five be... 5 rooms total or
five
available?
Five rooms total. It's a 5-room hotel program, and it costs about $220,000 to run a year. And so that could be a place you might want to explore more, you know, an area you want to explore more is five rooms is great. It was able to serve 38 households over the past year. And of those 38 households, 16 of them went on to a positive living situation, maybe longer term interim housing or a permanent housing opportunity, reunified with family, or found friends to stay with. So, in its first year, it was certainly a learning experience, but it was able to do what it was supposed to do. And that was just five rooms. So, that's a creative way that we are serving people experiencing homelessness, but it's a small program.
Thank you. Vice Chair Revere.
Hi, yes, thank you. Well, on a similar note, would it be possible to think about converting maybe in the short or long term some of the inclement hotel rooms that may or may not be in use into a shelter-based program on a smaller scale?
I like your creative way of thinking. The way that we ran that program last year is that we hoped the money, and then when the storms came, they would put people in hotels that needed it. And so we didn't hold the rooms offline. So for instance, like we don't necessarily have like any rooms that are offline right now. And so we just, as of right now, in this moment, we just have the five-room non-congregate shelter program. But again, as I mentioned and alluded to in the strategy, which we'll be sharing with all of you next Tuesday, I'm very excited about it. We'll talk more about the inclement weather program and some of the ideas we have. But certainly the non-congregate shelter program runs 365 days a year, 7 days a week, but it is a small program. So certainly, again, worth exploring what could possibly be creatively done to expand it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Stewart.
Doesn't the North County Hotel Program that also takes Sunnyvale homeless, isn't that 30 hotel rooms?
I believe it is, and that is set to close at the end of December. It was only intended to be a short-term program run by the county or funded by the county and run by We Hope while waiting for the life moves interim housing to be built in Palo Alto. That is set to come online. I think they're looking at spring of 2026. And so since those are coming online soon, they're starting to wind down the North County hotel program and are looking at other ways to continue to serve the individuals who were staying in that program. But Sunnyvale individuals, Palo Alto, and Mountain View were all served through that program as well.
Oh, Commissioner Shen.
Yeah, so regarding the shelter operating cost, right? So I'm wondering, is it possible we can partner with some kind of get some volunteer, right, to serve the shelter?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that is a great idea. Certainly, that's something we're looking at, in particular for safe parking. We've seen that model work in Campbell and Cupertino and Saratoga. They have a rotating safe parking program, and each of the locations in the rotation, they're mostly faith-based organizations, and then also De Anza College. They each take a turn hosting. And for some locations like De Anza College, they don't have anybody that can necessarily work there or operate. They're just willing to host their site. And so some of the faith-based organizations come in and say, well, we have staff that can volunteer, and they bring food and they're able to serve the individuals For those locations that have restrooms inside, they're able to ensure that people can come in and out of the building and just to ensure safety. And then the county also contracts with a nonprofit provider to provide supportive services. But that is one way where we've seen volunteers really work. We have some amazing volunteer organizations within the city of Sunnyvale who do some really good work. And so I think that's certainly an area that we could strengthen is how we can get those passionate volunteers involved in this work so that we can be more cost effective.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Revere.
Thank you. Yes, on a similar note, maybe there could be a partnership with schools or universities that are training social workers and or clinical health counselors to also be a part of the staffing as well for their internships.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good model and allows people to get their hours. Which is great. I know that We Hope has partnered with Stanford in the past. I think Palo Alto University has also been a partner. And so that's something that we would love to explore. Yes, that is a really good idea.
Thank you.
So a few project or ideas have been proposed. I know Chair, Commissioner and Vice Chair Revere have had ideas. Commissioner Duncan, almost called him Chair Duncan, force of habit. So how would we go about, do we take a vote or should we discuss amongst ourselves whether we like one idea over the other, just not sure how we would prioritize this.
Sure. My understanding just from having read the materials is that you would discuss it amongst yourselves and then whatever idea rose to the top that you
like an informal discussion.
Yeah, an informal discussion. And then someone can make say they're ready to make a motion once that informal discussion has happened. We're all new to this process, please.
Do we need to take public comment or anything like that and see if there's anyone in the audience that has, do we do that?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
But that would be after our discussion though, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Commissioner Stewart.
I regret the timing of this meeting in relation to the December 2nd meeting, because I have a feeling that after that meeting, there will be a lot more clarity in our minds in terms of where things stand and what possibilities are. Nevertheless, going back to Commissioner Duncan's suggestion, it seems to me that if that was done, one of the things that could be part of it in terms of renters knowing their rights would be knowing a lot more about their rights when it comes to unfair evictions, and that could kind of come from the angle of preventing homelessness and or displacement, disruption, and all of that. Was that part of the intention?
Certainly part of my intention. I mean, the best way to address unhoused is to keep it from happening.
Yeah.
If anyone is interested, I kind of chair wrote out about three sentences to maybe elaborate more on what I'm thinking of.
Please.
Yeah, please.
Propose that the city studies the creation or the establishment of a citywide registry of rental units and landlords modeled on systems in place in other cities. We propose this to ensure tenants understand their rights under recently established tenant protection ordinances in the city, landlords understand their obligations to tenants, and to help the city to enumerate its rental stock. And if I was to write a sentence, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. It's informal, you can just jump in.
Okay. Can you just repeat the last sentence, please?
To help the city enumerate to be able to count its rental stock.
Thank you.
Yes, I would agree with the preventative aspect of it. A quick logistical question. Are we choosing one tonight, this evening? we're at a future meeting. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and so in general, I would say that I like the description. I would also add that it would have the status of whether or not the placing has a wait list and is eligible for Section 8.
Commissioner Duncan, I have a question.
Yes.
Would this be for all properties of rental properties, or is this only for unit, properties with a certain number of units?
I don't know. I'm not an expert here. I think in an ideal world, it's all rental units. But study best practices in other cities. There may be a line that's drawn of, things more than 10 units. I really don't know.
Maybe there could be a pilot of those with over a certain amount of units and then more added over time to the database.
Can I add some feedback to the discussion? It looks like what Mountain View is doing is a rent stabilization and an eviction. They have a portal. You can check on the portal as a landlord or a tenant to see if your property is covered. So you can put your address in, and you can, get more property information to understand again, if there are any, rent stabilization related to your property, any eviction protection laws that might apply.
Vice Chair Revere?
It was just related to my earlier comment about adding on to the statement. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I think this study is worth looking into. I mean, I think this is a good idea. Is anybody in agreement, or this is not a formal motion or anything? I'm just discussing. Okay.
I like other ideas that are bigger and better and more exciting, but the feedback we're getting is that some of them are too big, some of them are duplicative.
If there's no other comments, I think we can open to the public hearing. Anybody oppose that? Okay, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Are there any in-person speakers?
None in person.
Is there any speakers online?
Yes, we do have one. We have Marie Bernard online. I will give her the floor and make sure that my timer works. All right, Marie, you have the floor.
Thank you, commissioners. And thank you also to the staff for the presentation. A number of things came up today that are certainly centered to the Housing and Human Services Commission and also to the work that we do as the Safety Net Hub in Sunnyvale. A few things that I'll make sure we follow up on. The questions about school meals, how do we get enough of them all year round? How do we get backpacks? How do we make sure that we've got resources for the low-income individuals and the most vulnerable in our community and the warming centers? I will say that in terms of the priority for a database for renters and rental properties, we would love that. Our whole mission is preventing homelessness and hunger, and we work with hundreds of landlords throughout Santa Clara County. We would love to do whatever we can to contribute to and use that database. We also partner very strongly with the Law Foundation and Project Sentinel to make sure that as many people as possible know their rights, but it is a daunting task. I also want to say that the work that we're all doing together is so important right now. There are huge issues looming in the face of everything that's happening and continuing to happen. And I can't underestimate the dread that we're seeing in the minds and the hearts of the people that we serve. The cuts to Medicaid and the new requirements for work and the new requirements to be able to show that you have filled in all the forms correctly every 6 months will be daunting at best to people who often don't have access easily to a computer or to the internet. And we're going to see thousands of people in our county and hundreds of people, if not more, in Sunnyvale who are going to suddenly find that benefits that they are entitled to receive are no longer available. And we're going to see more and more people become unhoused. There's no other way to frame it. So whatever we can to get more information together, but also to band together to make sure that we know the connections that we have to make it possible to really do our embrace of the people who need us now more than ever, we want to participate. I'd be very, very happy to follow up with any of the things that you think we might be involved with or connected to that you've discussed. And I applaud you for thinking big and for being bold, because there's no other time like now that's been more needed. So thank you.
Questions, if you
have any questions more for Marie Bernard.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Marie. Does anybody on the commission have any questions for Marie Bernard? Are there any more speakers online?
Not at this time, Chair.
Okay. Well, then I will close the public hearing and I will now ask for motion from my colleagues. Is there any motion to go forward with a proposal?
I'm happy to make the motion, but I don't have all the notes, so I will ask for anybody to fill in where I have left something off. I would like to make a motion to support Commissioner Duncan's proposal to create a request to council to consider a registry of rental properties in Sunnyvale, particularly including who isn't Section 8, to make sure tenants are aware of their rights regarding the rental using Section 8, particularly if evictions come along, how they can best fight those evictions. And I'm really worried I left something out.
Enumerate.
Say it again.
It's probably inappropriate for me to speak right now.
Oh, what shall we do?
You can have a motion and then someone can second it, and then someone can always amend the motion, and then if they want to add more to it. And then it could be a friendly amendment, and then the motioner can say, I accept that, and then the seconder can say, I accept that, and then it's a friendly amendment.
Thank you. You have saved us. I have concluded my motion. Would anybody like to second it?
I will second the motion for a database registry of rental properties.
Thank you. Is there a discussion or advocacy on the motion, such as a friendly amendment? Commissioner Duncan.
I don't know if this is a friendly amendment, but under discussion, I would be happy to try to wordsmith this. I'm not sure what the process can be for a review outside of a formal meeting, but we are meeting on next week. Is there a possibility that we could, after meeting with the council? I'm just saying we we've got a motion going, but it probably needs to be wordsmithed to something in two sentences can go to council. And I'm willing to try to do that if the rest of the commission would agree.
Is one way to do it that I would withdraw the motion and you would wordsmith it very quickly and create your own motion? No pressure.
Sure, I'll give it a shot.
Or we could vote down the motion and we can go back to a discussion and see how we want to word it. So it's not, I guess.
A friendly amendment to the motion could be that it could be open to the flexibility of future additions to iterations as we move along. Because, for example, if we wanted the database to be color-coded, red, yellow, green, light, so other details may come along as it develops, as we understand with the new...
From my understanding, this is a one-time thing per year. We can't amend it after, correct? Okay.
That's correct.
Oh, the other piece is, say, for example, it's brought in a conversation with council members, and there was talk of not bringing pre-prepared notes. It would be appropriate for someone to bring a more of a thought out statement or detailed vision of what it would look like to a council member in that case.
So from my understanding, we're making if you decide to make a motion, what your statement is today is what we would be taking to city manager's office.
Can I withdraw my motion at this time and ask Commissioner Duncan to put forward a better worded motion if he so wishes?
I can give that a shot, but we need to agree to withdraw the motion.
Is there a second to withdraw the motion? We have to do a second.
I will actually ask Council Member Sell if you can chime in at this point.
Let's just make it simple and just vote down the motion and start from scratch. Okay. I think, because I'm not a lawyer.
Okay, regarding officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes. Commissioner Stewart?
No.
The motion is to withdraw.
The motion is to withdraw right now.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's okay. We're all trying to figure this out. It's okay. Vice Chair Rivera?
Yes.
Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
And Chair Friedlander?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. We've voted to withdraw the motion.
And Chair, if I could clarify as we move forward into the discussion again and are articulating what we need, ultimately just be thinking about how to most clearly define what's needed or what you're requesting. I think really hitting on that it's a rental database, similar to sister cities, or that you want us, you want staff to be exploring a rental database similar to what other cities are using. I think really getting to that core point, and it maybe not necessarily focusing on all like the bells and whistles that it could have, but really that it's a rental database similar to what other communities are using, and really hitting on that.
Yes.
Should I have my microphone on in discussion phase? So adding on to what Amanda has said, that I would also want their wording to be in there that for tenants to know their rights, and in particularly in regards to evictions, and as part of an effort to keep people housed and prevent homelessness from that side.
Yep, I would agree with that as well. And also maybe a brief clause on the core goal of what we hope some would take away in using the database. So for example, to know that which units are Section 8 eligible and also which units are available.
Can I just chime in? So according to fair housing laws, all units are available for Section 8. It's actually against fair housing to not accept Section 8. While we know that it still happens, everyone by law is required to accept Section 8.
Thank you. I didn't know.
Thank you.
I think maybe for the purpose of this study proposal, it's best not to get into the weeds of things because they're gonna do their due diligence. And we can maybe put this forward as, you know, a basic motion that you know, hits all of the ideas, basically what Mountain View does as well. So,
agreement that the core goal would be for tenants or individuals to know their rights and availability of units.
Vice Mayor, so
what do you think if we had a Word document that we put on there and we typed up what it was, the words that were being said now? Because we have to come up with a sentence, right? And then so everybody could see the sentence and then they could like wordsmith that sentence. I don't know.
I'm on it.
Okay, great. That's Thank great. You.
You can still discuss while I get one Word document up. Thank you.
Seems like you have a good, I could read that to staff if you'd like, if I can read your handwriting. It seems to have.
Good luck if you can read it.
Are you a doctor?
You like me to try reading it?
Mutual negotiating?
Registry.
Okay, best you read it.
Proposal for a rental registry or portal to support tenants to better understand their rights, landlords to better understand their obligations, and to enumerate for the city its rental stock. Can you make that about 2 fonts larger?
Yes, thank you.
My apologies. Yes.
I think it should say proposal for a rental registry database.
Agreed. And if the nature of it, and this maybe there's different official definitions, if we want it to be a more dashboard based or interactive based.
How about comma modeled on modeled on existing models in other cities? Modeled on tools available in other cities
or resources.
Resources. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Very good.
I might add too, you might want to think about whether you want the proposal to be for a rental registry, which is how it reads, or if you want the proposal to be staffed to study whether the city should invest in, because we've combined study issues and budget, you know, there could be the possibility when this is read that the commission would like the city to explore just having a rental registry and not necessarily like creating a white paper about it.
So an appreciation for it. So the idea is we like to create a front facing for the public potential residents rather than a internal tool, right? Is that just to confirm something that could be on a website accessible?
I think what I heard was suggestion that we make this a proposal for a study of a rental registry.
That's the deal. Okay. Yep.
Commissioner Duncan, what was your idea in terms of the tenants knowing their rights and the landlords knowing their obligation? Would that simply be something stated on the website, or would it be something that was, would it also include a factor where something was mailed to every tenant saying, if you are served an eviction notice, here's your rights?
I mean, I would say yes to all of the above. I haven't designed a solution here, but this commission has reviewed a number of tenant protection ordinances, you know, no fault eviction, meaning pay certain amounts to tenants when they are evicted. So it would be a resource for tenants to understand their rights based upon the ordinance passed, you know, by the city council over the past few years for tenant protections, and for landlords to understand their obligations related to tenant protections.
I would, how do others feel about this? I would like something built into this where something was, you know, mailed to every tenant in multiple languages saying, if you're served, this is how you learn your rights. And if you specifically, if you're served an eviction notice, here's your rights, so that they have something in paper for these families who don't have the computer.
You'll feel free to add something here. Again, I just don't know that we want to be in one or two sentences architecting a full solution.
Maybe it could be a little more vague instead of mailing something in multiple languages, that we include language saying that in addition to the registry, that there would be a format for communicating with all tenants digitally or non-digitally capable what their rights are. Can you help us here, Amanda, in terms of what helpful wording would be in terms of that?
Again, if we're looking at wanting staff to study whether this is feasible and needed in the city, I wouldn't get too in the weeds, because those are the types of things that would be explored within the study issue, like within the actual you know, paper itself, the white paper. So I would leave it more high level in what you have right here. So that it's a rental registry database. We've identified that it's in other cities, and that it supports tenants to better understand their rights. And then I think the piece about enumerating the units, the city's units, or the units in the city, is important too. So really just identifying like the top three things that you would want to see explored if this was chosen as a council priority study issue.
So when we suggest a council priority study issue,
I shouldn't be,
we get two sentences and that's all.
And then as Vice Mayor Sell had mentioned, after this is submitted to the city manager's office, the council members are able to set up meetings with council members to further discuss the issue beyond these two sentences. So to really, you know, put a face to it and to give it more of a thought, so that council members can make those considerations before February.
That's right. For that, I had a couple more questions. I would be so disappointed if they said, yes, we've decided to put something online. Here's something online, and that's all we did. So I'm glad for that opportunity to come back and be more specific about what's hoped for. Thank you. And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Commissioner Roberts.
Vice Mayor Sell.
I had it. Thought that you could decide on how you want to approach it. So you come up with your sentence, and you could have a subcommittee, not a committee of the majority, a subcommittee of this commission to just meet and brainstorm about how you want to approach the city council members and what information you want to bring to that city council meeting. Yeah. What? As long as you meet in a non-majority of this commission, you can choose. So there's like seven of you. So there's like, you can meet like, you know, two people could be on the subcommittee, and then those two people could strategize with each other, you know, brainstorm, and then come up with a plan for how to talk to the council members.
So
that person might, those people might be taking a lot of notes during this meeting, so that some of that information can get to the council because this one sentence doesn't contain everything that you've said here.
So we would officially designate maybe two individuals, and then the two individuals would meet more so informally to brainstorm and bring back their insights? Or
they wouldn't come back to this commission, mm-hmm. because this is the only time for this year mm-hmm. that you'll be discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
But they could talk amongst each other, to each other, and they could be taking notes during this meeting mm-hmm. so that everything that you said that's pertinent could be in their notes. And then they meet together and brainstorm on the plan of attack for B.
And it sounds like all three of them could advocate to the council when it's time to propose. You said one person, they could all speak on it.
Yeah, as long as you don't talk to other council members about what one council member talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Three of you can meet. I think the our lawyer likes to be conservative, so she'd like for the Brown Act group to be two, even though you can make it three if possible. So, you know, then you have a buffer. If you accidentally mentioned it to another commissioner, then that would be okay. That's your buffer. So mm-hmm. I think the lawyer would like two in a subcommittee, Brown Act committee.
Yep. Thank you for the context. And on the note of the statement, I would say maybe using the phrase accessibility could help cover the digital and non-digital formats. And then that could be determined by the team moving forward, either designated individuals or council. And the other piece is if we'd like to highlight that it would be a website-based or accessible online, the idea is to have it maybe front-facing to the public. And then it sounds like the last piece is that we'd like it to have the highlight the number of available units, including on that statement. So.
Commissioner Duncan?
I'd like to propose some slight rewording here based upon some of the feedback we've just heard.
Mm-hmm.
One, right at the beginning, proposal for a study of a rental registry. And then model on other tenants to support tenants to better understand their rights. Yeah. B, excuse me. And then B is landlords to better understand their obligations. And C, for the city to better enumerate its entire rental stock or something like that. Hopefully that passes the one sentence test.
How long can this be?
Is there a character limit?
Modeled on resources available in other cities. Okay.
And
I believe that captured some of the discussion we just had.
Thank you. And do we want to add the accessibility piece there just to indicate if it's either online and in paper form?
Maybe we could just say an all-inclusive registry.
Is that D?
Just mean proposal for a study of a rental all-inclusive registry database or something along that line.
So a database is by definition on the computer. So I'm not sure where to put the paper bit.
I would call it accessible because then under that accessibility, there are some individuals that may require paper formatting in order to more easily read that information from the database that's printed out, for example.
There's a couple different things to the paper aspect. One is so someone can see the rental database. So I think it sounds like, are you talking about so someone can view the rental database on paper?
Yes, or to your point too, on if families don't have access to the internet or Wi-Fi, that it would be more accessible in that sense. And then I would also phrase C as highlighting the availability of units in general, but open to any other insights or ideas.
While we brainstorm, I just wanted to remind the commission that these are recorded, and so you can also go back and check your notes. Thanks.
Chair, are we ready for a motion?
I would, for B, can it say something like support landlord compliance and education to make sure they're compliant and know their obligations? So compliance and education, mm-hmm. Something along those lines.
And have we confirmed whether we wanted to use the word accessibility or indicate anything related to both the printing and the online form?
So I was wondering if we could put after. Thank you. I was wondering if maybe somewhere in the first sentence we could add, like maybe after the word database, we could add in parentheses, inclusive of paper communications in various languages for those without web access, or where exactly, I'm not sure where exactly that line would go.
I think that could be encompassed with the word accessibility, but open or inclusiveness, but yeah. Just because if we do have a limit, I'd love to elaborate too, but if we have a limit I'm not, in terms of wording or characters, thinking about,
this is all our first time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes
And
this year, yeah.
Commissioner Duncan.
I'm ready to make a motion if we are through wordsmithing.
And Commissioner Rivera and I work on wordsmithing just a little bit more. Where would you propose the words accessibility show up in what form?
Maybe a part of the first line, recipient of an accessible rental registry database or inclusive. And that may encompass, depending on the study direction for them to define. I agree with it, including paper and different languages, but it also leaves it open in terms of it can encompass all of those types of accessibility or inclusiveness.
To me, saying accessible rental registry database doesn't necessarily mean that there's paper copies. It means that everybody can get to a computer, but that might be a term that the city interprets differently.
Yeah. Or we could say on or offline. That could work too.
On or offline, sure.
Okay. What about just an accessible rental registry? Forget database.
That could work.
Sure.
As well. Yeah, accessible. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would also phrase C as highlighting the availability, because we want it to be able to show as a tool what units are available.
Commissioner Duncan.
I don't know how many details we should be getting into. Yeah. My own vision was this was not a resource for finding out all available rental units in the city, or what units would be available for rent at any given time. That to me implies a great deal more rigor and inclusiveness than that's just my thought. But again, we're bordering on designing solutions to a study proposal.
Yeah. I appreciate, yeah, the goal, I think the vision and the thought. I'm thinking if there's a compliance component of being transparent about the amount of units available, and so that both the tenant and the landlord have a matching, sense of what is actually accessible or available when they approach a unit. And so, for example, they won't be told that there isn't one when there is.
Okay, I think what we have now is good for the study to be looked into. So I will ask for a motion from my colleagues. Commissioner Duncan?
I move that we support this proposal as written here, as this commission's single submission for this year's quote, new study process.
Thank you. Is there a second? Vice Chair Riviere.
I second the motion for the statement as submitted.
Okay. Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes. Commissioner Duncan?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Vice Chair Riviere?
Yes.
Commissioner Shen?
Yes.
And Chair Friedlander?
Yes.
The motion carries with all commissioners voting yes and Commissioner Weiss and Davis absent.
Commissioner Stewart?
How do we go about deciding who's on the subcommittee?
That's a great question.
Let's fight it out, folks.
To my knowledge, I'm not 100% sure how the subcommittee works. I would have to reach out to the city clerk's division and then send you an email back if that works for the commission. Okay.
I think we could discuss that in the next portion after non-agenda items and comments. Vice Mayor Sell?
So you won't be meeting in December. So you probably want to start working on talking to council members in December and January. So you could informally discuss who might want to volunteer for that. And then you could informally agree that those people are good. And you could make a motion, I don't know, that we say XY will be on our subcommittee for this. And then you would know the whole commission agrees. And then you would know you voted on it, and it was a motion, and it was seconded. So it's no question about it. That's my thought. But then it's not agendized. That's the only problem.
That's the one part I know.
Yeah.
Not agendized.
Yeah.
That would be almost an informal vote.
Yeah, you could take a straw, whatever, and you that straw, whatever. You could always meet together, non-majority.
Sure.
And you could always make an appointment to meet with a council member.
Can I just ask who would like to be on the subcommittee? I would like to be on the subcommittee. Who else would like to be on the subcommittee? Well, we could do three and be careful to never run into. There we go.
Is it possible to only meet two at a time, even though there are more members in the subcommittee?
As long as the two never talk together.
I think all three can meet. They just can't talk to the chair. They can't talk to other commissioners not on the sub.
Yeah, three can meet. It's just sometimes the lawyer says then you don't have buffer because a Brown Act group of three, if by chance a fourth like heard about it, then that would be a break of the Brown Act. So,
well, we wouldn't be meeting in December.
Yeah, like so as long said, as you absolutely positively will go nowhere beyond the three.
I think it's very low risk.
To reduce risk, I'm happy to decline and leave it to my fellow commissioners, Stewart and Rivera.
I'm also open to pairing up and maybe saying that two of us are one side of the subcommittee and two are on the other, just so that participation, but even though we aren't allowed to address what the two pairs are speaking of.
Is there an option, for example, for me to say, how about Commissioner Rivera and Duncan are the committee, but I have my own ideas that I will communicate to the council independently of whatever they come up with? Why don't we do that? I'm happy to do that. Then the two of you can meet. And then I can bore the council with my personal opinions at my leisure.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, then the subcommittee should speak to council first, and then you go on your own as a member of the public.
Sure. And then in that being the case, at some point I would need to know when the subcommittee was going to go to be sure that I was behind them. Is it?
Can I chime in? Sorry.
Please.
Just in case this, so I'm not sure. I think subcommittees need to be formally agendized. I'm not 100% sure, which is why I do need to speak to the city clerk's division. I just want you guys to know, in case what we discuss now is not an option, that might be the case. But feel free to continue discussing.
And it sounds like so two would meet to talk about their ideas, and then those two would then meet with council members. Thinking about, since it is technically a subcommittee, if, say, a chairperson of that subcommittee would just, the two would talk, and then from there, the chair would kind of be their own.
Or we're saying that we need to get more information from the city clerk's office before we can identify that there even is a subcommittee. Okay. So before you start meeting, we do have a meeting on January 6th. So I know that that would, you know, be in the way of December, but you know, it'd be early in January if you wanted to agendize the subcommittee, if that's what we find out that we need to do in order to make it official.
So we would wait till January 6th for the official green light on the meetings.
We should be able to get information from the clerk's office this week about what the process is. And then if it's that we have to agendize it, we can agendize for January 6th if this is what commission decides.
Okay, thank you.
Could you add it to the special meeting? Or not?
I worry that that meeting's already going to be a pretty long, lengthy meeting. So I would worry about adding anything else. And because that's already been agendized, the special meeting is already, I think it's being posted tomorrow. So we wouldn't be able to add anything else.
Mm-hmm. You mean the December 2nd meeting?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Can we move on to the non-agenda items and comments, or do we need further discussion on, since there's unfamiliarity with subcommittees and arranging them? I'll wait for Janelle.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. My question is, you said you weren't sure about the subcommittees and how they joined. We don't have to have a motion or something formal now. That's
no, because it's not on the agenda. We can't have a motion on the subcommittee discussion.
So we can move on to the non-agenda items. Okay, yeah. Great. This next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by commissioners and staff to share information. Is there any information to share, commissioners?
I have a question about the December 2nd meeting. Is this a good time to ask it? Okay. So do we get to vote at the December 2nd meeting, or we merely do public comment?
Yes, you'll all be at the dais on the 2nd. So the city clerk's office has already figured out a way to make that happen with all potential, I think there'll be 12 of you, maybe 14. So we have that all set up. And yes, it will be a formal public hearing. So staff will bring the formal presentation, strategy to address homelessness to both the commission and the council, request that both the commission and the council move to approve, ideally, the strategy.
Thank you.
And I do believe, just add on to that, that the city clerk's office has how the meeting will be run. They have that figured out in terms of, like, you know, who will be going first and how roll call will be taken. So if we can get that sooner and share that with you, just so you're familiar with it yourself, or even just have it, we can certainly do that. give you a little more context. It'll be a first for us.
Okay, does staff have any non-agenda items or comments?
I do. First, I would like to introduce our newest member of the housing team, Jocelyn Vidales. She is our unhoused specialist. She'll be working on all things related to homelessness, and I'm really excited to have her. So things like safe parking is certainly something she'll be tasked with, among many other things. And so she's already hit the ground running since last Monday, and she'll be here presenting to you all very soon, I'm sure. So we're very, very happy to have her on board.
Welcome. Look forward to future meetings.
And next, again, I wanted to remind the commission. So we have the meeting. It starts at 6 o'clock. So a little unusual, starts at 6 o'clock next Tuesday in the city council chambers. So I will certainly be there early, be greeting everyone so that, you know, if you're lost or you need anything, please reach out. A number of us will be there. And I'll be presenting, and I'll have the consultant that helped us with the tail end of this there too, to answer any questions. And then another reminder, said it a few times, but we have the special meeting in January 6th. So during that meeting, we'll bring the substantial amendment to the 2526 HUD action plan to close out the WorkFirst program. And then we will also bring the federal funded RFPs for your approval so that we can put those out for solicitation after that. And I think those are all of my updates for tonight.
Ms. Mayor Sell?
Yeah. So for December 2nd meeting, when will the materials wind up online, since Thursday is Thanksgiving?
I believe that the city clerk's office is working to release them tomorrow. We have some finishing touches, but I think everything will be released tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, for next Tuesday's meeting.
What is your best guess for how long the December 2nd meeting will go?
Oh my goodness. I imagine it may be lengthy, just given the fact that there are many incredible people that are going to be up there, and you know, we're going to be presenting some information that is of interest to many of you as well. And so I would guess that it would probably be 2 to 3 hours is my best guess, you know, depending on the number of questions and public hearing. You know, anything in the public hearing as well. Yeah.
Okay. Is there no other agenda items or comments from staff? Okay.
That was all.
Excellent. The meeting is adjourned at 8:53 p.m. And I want to thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting.